And welcome to the Tales from the Line Box podcast. I almost forgot there for a second. This is episode 84, Podcasting Freestyle. And I am Chris Mosby. Sorry.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
Oh, this is going to be great.
And I'm Murray Fox.
All right.
We got lovely sound this week. It's like we're broadcasting from a tin drum.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. You know, my voice is all flaky. Yeah, this is my fault, boys and girls, moving and everything, and not really prepared this week, so we're going to just freestyle it, and whatever comes to mind is what we'll talk about, and hopefully it will be interesting. And I should be the new Fortress of Mositude, which should be set up next week, and then be a little bit more organized, hopefully. So,
Mositude?
Yeah. What, you don't like that name?
No, it's fine. I Mositude.
Yeah, well, you know. I don't know where that came from, but anyway, I go with it.
I have to Google that. I have to see what Mositude looks like.
Hopefully you don't find anything real bad there.
Is there a Venn chart for that? Is there perhaps a...
I don't know. I might have to copyright that. So anyway, yes. Good week for...
Did I tell you guys what I did with my daughters comic book wise in the last week?
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, would you do finally sell them off or something? Or
it's been on the table, that one.
Now what'd you do?
We watched all three of the Nolan Batman movies.
Oh really?
Yes, we did. We did.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that with the nephews.
And what they think?
They love them. They absolutely love them. I was a little concerned, you know, going into Dark Knight, because you know it's actually a fairly violent movie.
Yeah.
A great movie. Don't confuse that with my love of that movie. But they were totally into it. Even my 10-year-old, who has the attention span of a flea, was into it. It was fun. They really enjoyed. They actually really enjoyed the third one better.
Really?
It's more comic booky, I think, than it. Having watched
the third one was more comic booky. Really?
It really was.
I only saw it the once, and it was after I sat through the marathon of seeing the other two. So it was like 2 o'clock in the morning when I got done. So I might have tainted my view of it, but. I didn't enjoy it as much as the other two, which I'm hoping to see it again, you know, watch it again, and I might feel differently about it.
No, you still won't enjoy it as much, trust me. It is.
Yeah, I thought it was too long.
There's that. But for adults, it really is not the best of the three. But mm-hmm. I think it is more – it's the most kid-friendly, surprisingly, of the three movies.
That's an interesting – that would be the last thing I would think that anybody would say, because that seemed like to me the most gritty, darkest one out of all of them. Well, and I guess you're kind of hard to say that with the Joker one.
It's kind of – it's – go ahead, Marie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's got Catwoman. It's got a chick. Of course it's going to be more kid-friendly.
It's almost even campier. There's a campy quality to it with Bane and – I couldn't help but making fun of his voice pretty much the whole movie.
Yeah, see, everybody, I've heard that a lot, and I didn't, that didn't have that effect on me for some reason, but.
Hello, I'm Bane.
I know.
That wasn't a great Tom Hardy, but it was, he had a high-pitched voice.
He did. It was interesting.
Too many steroids, and I think that was the lesson learned there.
Yeah. Well, see,
in health class,
did they have even the Venom component in that?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I remember that.
No Venom. There was a lot of comic book elements in it. There was story. There was beats where it was like, oh yeah, I've seen that in 100 comic books. You know, the whole, you know, recovering in the prison, and then. You know, the third time he finally makes it out, and it's, I again, Murray, if you're looking for something to kill a weekend with your kid, that's it right there.
Yeah, I still trying to get them to watch the three Star Wars movies without them either falling asleep or getting bored. The younger two, I think that might be a challenge with, but the oldest one, he's the perfect example. We were driving up to Sears to look at refrigerators because that's one of the things they didn't leave. And he drove with me, the oldest. He's not nine, just barely nine. And the whole way up there, he was quizzing me on the origins of all of DC's heroes that he knew. So that was awesome. I loved it because I gave them the first season of Young Justice and let them watch it. I bought that just recently, but I had like all the Justice League stuff, and they went through all that and watched it off and on because they got a DVD player in that room that they were sharing, the oldest two. And he was just like, okay, well, what's the deal with Green Lantern? And then, okay, what about the black guy? And I said, well, you mean John Stewart? Yeah. It's like, I went through all that stuff, and it was trying not to get into the different versions for the different universes too much because that, he's not ready for that. So it's like, he's asking. What was that?
He's not ready for multiple Earths yet.
No.
Did you tell him about the gay Green Lantern? Come on.
No, I didn't tell them about that. But they know about the different colors, though, he loves that Green Lantern cartoon, obvious, which, of course, that means they're going to cancel it. So I'm going to probably get those on Amazon by the seat. Well, I might be able to watch them for free. I haven't looked in a while. But, a lot of that stuff you get access to, and they can just watch it whenever, so... but yeah, that was just like a great, I loved it. Okay, so what about, he didn't ask about Batman because apparently he understood that. And for his Christmas one year, I gave him the first two Flash showcases because that's his favorite. So, he read a lot of that. So yeah, that was a great conversation.
I did that with my daughter. We went over the origins of the Legion of Superheroes. She knows I've gone over all the all those characters, including the subs to a certain degree. So.
My goodness, yeah, I remember getting them making DVDs of the first season for them, and they loved that. So I still haven't seen the second, so that would be great. We'll have to get that out and let them watch that too. That'd be awesome.
They will love it. I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, when you mentioned Star Wars, I think the Nolan trilogy with Batman is Star Wars, is kind of Star Wars in that regard, where the first one's, kind of a little rough around the edges. The second one's dark, like Empire was. And then the third one is a little more colorful, a little brighter, and a little campier, like Jedi was.
Mm-hmm.
But minus the Ewoks. Yes, there you go. Can I just say, costuming-wise, her costume rocked in Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. With the goggles, when they went up on her head, they looked like the little key ears, and then they come down and be her goggles.
I know. I love that. That was a cool touch. And that was one of the greatest things I liked about Nolan is how he was able to do that stuff and make it as realistic as you could. And that's what I loved about his movies. Especially Batman's origin. So.
Well, I hope they do something with whatever that kid's name, the Third Rock kid.
Yeah. He's a great actor. He really is. And Nolan uses him all the time.
I hope he gets a shot at doing the Bat. Though his character's name is Robin.
Yeah, well, the perfect thing for them to do though is to do Nightwing, I would think. But without the Batman thing, it probably wouldn't be as he'd have to go scare the criminals all over again.
His character's name was Robin, so
yeah, that's true. I thought that was a great touch.
Yes, it was. Well, he's going to be in Sin City, but that's doesn't mention anything about a new Batman movie yet.
Yeah, well, I'd probably be a while. I heard rumors that they were going to reboot that because Nolan wouldn't do anymore, which is a complete mistake. They should continue on with what he did, just somebody else, you know. But I don't know, whatever.
Well, Murray, you have your plans for your spring break right there. Watch the Batman.
My spring break is over. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, so are my nephew.
This is my last day.
Aww.
I know. I got to go into school, figure out what I'm doing, rearrange the room.
That's rough.
Oh, that just sucks. That's horrible. How do you survive?
Survive having to work. I've said it many times. If I could get paid to do nothing, I would totally do it.
Well, who wouldn't?
I think there are crazy people out there that like to work.
Well, it depends. I mean, I actually do like to work in the field I'm in because I'm...
There you go.
But if I could do it a lot less of it and still get paid the same, yeah, I would do it. I mean, who wouldn't?
Hey, can you guys hear me right now?
Yeah.
Listening. I love you.
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, the only reason that I dig work is because if the kids are off and I need a break.
Yeah, there's been times in the last 5 months that it's like I need to go to work to relax. It's a lot less stressful at work.
So wait a minute, Marie. So your break ends now? Is that what I heard?
I'm breaking in?
No, your break is ending. Your spring break is ending.
Yeah, our spring break is over.
Yeah, our spring break was, well, the kids' spring break was this week. And my sister took the week off because she had spring break from school. So that's what she's been doing all week, is trying to, you know, get things going while I was working.
All right. Well, I still got one more week with the kids, so
well, you guys
pray for my soul.
Oh, that's right. You guys have two because you said it was... You had a longer school year, right?
Well, we have a modified school year, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Like I was saying, shorter summer, longer mid-year breaks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. It's Arizona. We have to be different.
I would want longer mid-year breaks and a longer summer break.
So Murray, what flavor of cake is that that you're wanting to eat as well as have?
Very good point.
I know. I'm a horrible example, but I just love my free time.
Well, yeah, I hear that.
You know, I think you got spoiled with that. How long were you on that sabbatical for? Like
I was off for a year.
How did you work that?
Well, they take your money. They take like 20% of your pay for years, and then on the fifth year, they give you the 80% that they've taken. So it's like you're paying yourself to be off.
Okay. Huh.
You know, so you get a... you just don't take your full pay for 4 years, 5 years. But you get one of those years.
Interesting.
So every fifth year you get off? Wow.
If I choose to.
If you choose to. Well, then what happens to that money that they take if you don't do it? It just keeps building until you decide to?
No. Like, you have to sign up for it. You have to say, hey, take my money, and then they'll take your money. If you don't choose to do that, then you just work and work and work and work and work, you know. You'd be surprised how many people choose to take the take a year off thing, but I love it.
Now, do you have to do it? So if you sign up once, do you have to continue to do it, or do you re-sign up after you've done it once and then at the beginning?
Every time you want it, you sign up for it. So they don't they don't consider it a just because you've done it once you'll do it forever sort of thing. They they give you the option to factor back in or out or whatever.
So can you go like, okay, I took my year off, and then a couple years of full pay, and then you start your five-year cycle again after a couple years of working full pay?
Yep, totally. You can work it out any way you want. You could do like a year, have a year off, if you can get by on half a year's pay, which I cannot. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Could work like 6 years and have the seventh year off. You could. They're pretty flexible in the way they let you work it out.
That's an awesome system, dude.
It is. The only difficult part is like the in between the 5 year parts.
The other 4 years, okay.
On the plus side, I have great students this year. So, you know, that makes it easier.
So I have kind of a modified thing like that. Every fifth year, I get a month off. I get a month in addition to my regular vacation. I get a sabbatical. So
wow,
which at full pay. I mean, it's
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's a,
right. Yeah,
it's kind of modified.
That's kind of one thing that was not as good as at this new job as the last one is that all my sick and. All the PTO time, no matter where it comes from, is all in one lump. So if I take sick day off, that's also part of my vacation pay. My last job, it was all separate. So I don't think they do anything like that, though. Give you a month off, that would be way too cool.
Okay. Guess what I won't be doing for the whole month of October of this year. So working.
Interesting.
I will be reading lots of comic books. I will be sitting on a beach for a week, reading comic books on the beach. That's my goal, is to fill up my little reader here with all these series that I keep promising I'm going to read and never do. And like I'm going to finally read all of Preacher, which I keep starting and stopping. I'm going to finally read all of there's a couple other series that I've been like. Oh, I should read that. And I'm finally going to sit down and read it. So, because that's what you did, Murray, right? You just kind of caught up on all this stuff that you never read
reading,
before,
yeah.
Right?
I read books and comic books. It was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Book books? No pictures?
Yeah. No. Not heavy reading, mind you. Come on now.
I'd say my reader has made me a really slow reader of non-picture books.
Yeah, I can see that, I guess.
I've gotten lazy about it, I think.
Yeah, I haven't read as many books as I started doing that because I just don't have the time as like I used to. I want to try to change that, though, because I've got a lot of books that I've bought that I haven't read yet, and there's stuff coming out that I want to read and everything else, so...
Did anyone get any of those free Marvel number ones?
I got three, I think, before it fell down hard. How about you?
Yeah, the two times I tried to log in, the site was not live, so I never bothered to go back.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I was able to get on, but I wasn't able to download anything, and I didn't clue into the fact that if I just kind of put them in my queue or whatever, I could download them later.
Yeah, see, that's what I did. I was like, okay, I was at the page, and I clicked like two or three, which was the only ones out of the Marvel Now, like that the one with the arcade's doing the Murder World Avengers Arena. We were talking about that last week that I hadn't read that. Well, I had gotten that. And maybe one other, A plus X. And then I just said, you know, added them to my thing. And then that's when it all went down, so. Anyway.
I couldn't even get that far. So did you end up getting, any, Murray?
I did. I got Captain America number one, and I got Avengers Arena, and I got the... Hulk, whatever that one is called, the
Indestructible.
I got that one. And I liked Avengers Arena, except for all, like, the killing stuff. If it were Well, I was going to say if it were characters I didn't know, I would have liked it more, but I don't really know any of these Marvel characters anyway. But but I do hope that there's some sort of, when the series is all over, there's some sort of, oh, we were just fooling, they're still okay, or most of them are okay or something. Like, I'd like...
Oh, yeah, it's on Murder World anyway, so, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
I suspect... some deaths, but, well, I mean, we have, but I would love to think that they're going to be able to find a way to come back, but I might have to check out more of that series. I might.
Yeah. I'm concerned the series, I'm surprised it's an ongoing, it doesn't strike me as an ongoing concept, but it'll be.
Yeah, I mentioned this last week, is that there, some of that stuff, they meant to do that on purpose, I think. Which I think DC, even with their new 52, has done some of that. I don't know if they ever intended for Legion Lost to be continuing or not, which they didn't write it well enough to be anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's a
different conversation, though, right?
Yeah, it is. I just want to forget that ever happened.
Oh no! I like that one idea on the Legion Facebook page where they were talking about maybe having a new Superboy in the Legion of Superheroes.
That would be interesting. I like that idea too.
That would be interesting. I never even thought about that.
I like
that. Yeah, well, because the Superboy book, Go ahead.
No. Go.
I was just gonna say. I mean, Superboy has been a pretty mediocre comic, and Legion Lost is done. So you know, and Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes has some has cachet.
Yeah, and that Ravagers book, he was like the leader. I think they made him leader or whatever for the two or three issues that they had left to go. I remember seeing a cover for it, but yeah, there's potential there.
I would dig on that. I hope I would hope that somebody at Marvel, or not Marvel, I can't believe I said that, DC thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, one of them, they're comic publisher people things, you know.
I hear you.
I would be cool. I would dig on that. I would buy that book. Let me take that back. Depending on who the creators were, that might be.
Yeah. Because who was it that I was disappointed in that they added on? Oh, DeFalco and some of the stuff he wrote, which, you know, we still got that whole editorial oversight thing that they're doing over there. So there's only so much of it that you can blame on the writer.
Like, I think dialogue. We could blame the whole thing on the writer.
Well, yeah, we could probably do that.
Yes.
This is true.
One more. So what did you think of Captain America?
I thought it was okay. I had it in my head that it was all in Dimension Z and that it was all crazy action all the time, and that doesn't happen until it looks like issue two. Like, he kind of gets there at the end of issue one, but issue one was pretty much just, you know, Cap doing his thing, getting proposed to, fighting it was good. I was just expecting it to be crazy, crazy good, and it was fine. I think issue two is where it gets.
Yeah, that's my. I'm interested to see where the hell they're going with it. Thing, you know.
See, that one's going to be in someone's head. That is not going to be a.
Yeah, that's too way out there to be real.
It'll have to be shot.
And like that whole. And I'm still thinking they're setting it up to have a new Bucky, maybe. That's what this whole thing is for. And he'll be, by the time they leave there, the kid will be, you know, 20 or something like that. And all the rest of it happened in his head, you know.
The kid will be 20, but Cap will still be the same age.
Well, you know, he's whatever.
He's 90. Perpetually 40.
That's right.
Yeah.
Issue.
Was that what the birthday number was in that number one? Was the 90th birthday?
Yep. That was his 90th.
That's right, yeah.
Man. What is the reverse of a cougar when they, when the woman dates an ancient old man?
Yeah.
Instead of, we call that
a gold digger.
A gold digger, right.
That's right.
Well, I suppose if it was anybody but Steve Rogers, it would be gold digging.
Mm-hmm. Probably so.
Alright. So Avengers Arena, you want less killing. Captain America, you're intrigued. What was it? Indestructible Hulk was your third.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
It didn't do anything for me. It was kind of boring.
Okay. Well, there was a lot of talk in it, so, right? I mean, I'm just saying. Just saying.
So you expect more Hulk smash from a Hulk comic book, right?
I guess it didn't. I might have to read it again. I might have read it when I was tired, but it was just kind of boring.
On the plus side, you didn't pay anything for it.
Totally, I can't complain because
yeah, exactly,
it's free. Free.
You can complain all you want. No one's going to listen.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, actually, Murray, I agree with you. I've checked out issues 2 and 3 of that book, and it's slow.
Which one? Captain America?
No, Hulk.
Oh.
Hulk.
Oh, yeah. It's
Indestructible Hulk is... it is not. It's not Daredevil. It's not Hawkeye. It's not. It's not even Captain America. So, yeah.
Well,
it's not even Avengers Arena.
Arena was really. It was character. Even though I didn't know any of the characters. Well, I do. Sorry, I knew some of the characters. They just didn't get any air. But the ones that I didn't know were getting all the airtime. But it was like you got into their heads and you. Like I love that it was character based, and it was pretty cool. The big Red Skull looking guy whose name was not Red Skull, but
Metal. His name was Metal.
Yeah. Like that was kind of cool. Seeing him like from the very beginning go, hey, we don't have to, or you know, like he decided, yeah, we are gonna run away, or we're gonna play the game, and we're not going to act like heroes. We're going to try to get out of this and live. And his cute little girlfriend gets all high and mighty and hero-y. And then Red Dude gets blasted. Sorry, spoilers. But
yes,
I liked it.
I'm surprised you didn't read Avengers Academy. That just seems like your cup of tea. It was that fun, character-driven. Enjoyed it. You would.
It had what, Tom Grummett on art for a little while. He's always good. I have to say.
You should be about back issuing that or finding a trade or something like that. It reminds me of early New Mutants.
Yeah, some of the crossovers from something I was reading, they were actually pretty good. I'm sure they've got a trade of it on Comixology already. What was that?
What?
I read Spider Island.
Yeah!
It was the library had like a big hardcover of it, so it had like all the Spider Island issues, and it had 3 or 4 Venom issues and some of the little special bits and stuff. So it was kind of cool. I don't know anything about the Clone Saga, so it's not that it relied on the Clone Saga, but if you knew what was going on in the Clone Saga, you probably got a little more out of the story, but I liked it. I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who this Kane dude is. I always thought the clone was Ben Reilly. Were there more of them?
I think that was another clone, actually. Wasn't it?
You're asking the wrong kid.
Yes, yes it is. Kane was a one of the lengthening list of clones. And actually, Kane is in that comic book Scarlet Spider. That's the that's where he ended up.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
There is no Ben Reilly right now. There's this Kane guy and there's Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Spider Island, good choice for first of all, we haven't heard you mention the library in months, so glad to see you're getting back.
No, it was good. It was.
There it is.
I love the art. I love Humberto. Humberto Ramos. I like him. I haven't seen his stuff since.
Okay, yes, they do have, before I forget, they do have Volume 1 and Volume 2 on Comixology Avengers Academy. $10.99 for the first one and $12.99 for the other, if you want to go that way.
So how far into the Spider... Does the Spider Island hardcover, does it cover the whole story from when it kicks in to when they solve the problem?
It does, yeah. It goes from... It's got the... All the Humberto Ramos issues, and then it's got two issues on either end. That's mm-hmm. by somebody else.
You said the hardcover?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up now. It's Spider-Man 666 to 673,
yep.
Venom number 6 through 8, Spider-Island Deadly Foes, material from Spider Island Spotlight and the Infested prologues from Amazing Spider-Man number 659 to 660 and 662 to 665. That's a lot of stuff. How many pages?
Wow, that is a full freaking comic. Wow.
392 pages altogether. Amazon, the hardcover is $26.39 and $23.09 for the paperback. Yeah, I'll have to get that for sure from my collection when I get.
So you get a lot of.
Go ahead.
You just head down to Waterloo. You get your passport. You go to the Waterloo Library.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be a much cheaper option, I'm sure. I do need to get a passport, though.
Passports are cheap.
Mm-hmm. I was going to once and never did.
I need to get a passport. We're going to fly over the ocean, and we don't have passports, so it might be not a bad idea to get some.
Yeah, you might want to work on that. Might want to work on that.
We're not leaving the country, though. We're just, over to... Anyway, whatever. So did you say Venom is in there? So you get some Rick Remender writing in there as well. Very cool.
Yeah, they intersperse the issues, so you're reading it in publishing order rather than in...
Awesome.
Rather than in any other order. So you get you'll get an issue of Spider-Man, and then you get the not really the follow-up or continuation, but you get sort of the same sort of story, or you get the other side of the story that's being told in Venom, and then you go back. Like, so they bounce back and forth sort of, and it's...
Oh, wait.
It's,
the paperback.
I want to dig more into this Venom character, because I'm always skeptical and a little irritated when they take all of the supporting characters.
All right.
Breaker, this is...
All right, it's gone again. And I was hoping we could get through without hearing that again, but anyway.
All right.
I
was saying that... Oh, no, I was just saying I'm always a little irritated when they take the supporting characters and force them into superhero roles or supervillain roles. And, look, Flash Thompson's been doing nothing, so let's make him Venom. But I'm kind of curious how he became Venom.
He's Venom?
Yeah.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Oh, it's true.
No. I thought Flash Gordon was Flash Thompson was dead. Oh, wait, no, he lost his legs.
He lost his legs, but he's not dead.
Huh.
Well, he's better now.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I actually he's one of the the team members in Thunderbolts. So
yeah,
I'm like,
I knew that.
Okay, I'm interested. And of course, this Spider Island was not Spider Island, but the previous story was when I first got introduced to him as Venom, and I'm like, well, what the hell? How'd this happen? So. Mm.
I've seen that character, and he's, got guns and stuff, but does he still have, some of the Venom suit powers, or...
Yes.
Interesting. I might have to get that second issue of Thunderbolts, see what it's like.
Yes. Yes, you must. Now. Right now. No, I'm kidding.
No. Well, I already bought a couple comics while we were talking, so. Looking for things to talk about. I mean, hey. Speaking of that, did you guys see the seven? These are previewed on various other sites, but Bleeding Cool kind of brought them together. Eight altogether of the comics, the WTF covers that are supposed to come out in April are on. They've consolidated them. And it's interesting.
Do they have the gatefold part on them, or still the hidden?
It's the entire thing, and they've showed some of them already. Like I said,
where is this?
I'm Bleeding Cool here. I'll send you the link.
It
was just yesterday that this got put on here.
Because I don't care about spoilers, so.
Yeah. Well, it's a cover. It's not necessarily a spoiler. But they've shown Suicide Squad. I don't know where they're from, but they got links to where they were originally shown. Previews has one of them, apparently. Dial H for Hero, Dial H. Earth 2's cover, which is kind of cool. Batman one, that's some kind of gimmick, obviously. The Batwing, that's when Palmiotti and Gray take over. It looks like the whole new, you know, Batwing suit. Detective Comics one, it looks like, that's from the previews. And I'm like, meh. And Stormwatch number 19, which is when Jim Starlin takes over. And then there's one from, it looks like a very advanced cover of Red Hood and the Outlaws. And then somebody did a joke one after that. But it's interesting.
The Red Hood one, though, is not real. Like, I mean, if you read issue 18,
mm-hmm.
It's like, well, of course that's the cover. We just saw that happen at the end of the issue. So mm-hmm. Hopefully there's more to it. Although that's so sad.
Well, that's what he gets for putting on that thing after the Joker had it for so long. You'd think he would have been more careful.
I was sucked into that issue. I was like, ah.
Yeah, I know. Geez. It was.
It's
it was
a nice
great.
Little family story, and you see that Dick and Corey are still kind of have a bit of a history, and mm-hmm. and then Corey and Jason are still kind of friendly, and then the end, and I was like, no!
He's
never going to look in a mirror again. It was sad.
Yeah.
It seems like there's more consequences after death of the family than there were actually from death of the family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Explain for me. Death of the family. What was the big... Well, why are they angry at Batman?
Apparently... Why are they angry at Batman? Well, the whole thing was... Which it ended up being... false. They thought stuff he was saying. He pretended like he knew who they were. Okay. Batman found one of his playing cards in the cave, and he had made it fall. He had stuck to the Batboat or something and made it to the cave. And he wasn't sure if Joker knew who he was or not. And they didn't. He just said, it's fine, he doesn't know, but things kept coming up. He kept talking about this little black book that he had. It had all everybody's info in it, and things he was doing, like stealing Alfred for one, kidnapping Alfred, and a couple other things.
Sorry.
Huh?
Sorry.
What?
Sorry.
Sorry what?
Sorry. You guys couldn't hear that good. Sorry.
Yeah, didn't hear a thing. Yeah, anything. Anyway, so the fact that he and Joker had actually made it into the Batcave, but he never did find out who Bruce Wayne, who he was, because he didn't care. Because it was Batman and he was obsessed with. And he found out because he took the card in as Bruce Wayne under some other pretense, and when nobody was looking, he slipped the card up there, put it on a thing, and talked to him in Batman voice, and the Joker just glazed over. See, he was Bruce Wayne. He didn't care. It was Batman he was focused on. He could have learned, but he didn't. But they weren't sure. But the fact that he kept the fact that the Joker had made it into the Batcave and could have figured out who he was, that's why they're all mad at him.
In other words, they're just a bunch of whiny bitches.
Yeah, well, I was hoping they wouldn't do that again, because they had, that was kind of the thing they had done in the past, how he was doing things, was keeping things from them. And, you know, and so they've kind of brought that back a little bit. And I haven't read it yet, but I guess in Nightwing, Dick decides to move to Chicago instead of being in Gotham. I don't know what the circumstances are that brings him to that. I mean, Joker had completely burned down the circus he was trying to build in Gotham, and almost
He's going to Chicago to become a community organizer, and then he's eventually going to run for president.
But yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, I guess anybody that didn't die, which I don't think he actually killed anybody from Haley Circus, they all quit because of all the stuff that had happened, and they had enough. And all of his money was tied up in that circus getting it running. And I guess the bank that provided him the loan paid for the funerals of the ones that did die and everything else, and they just all quit. So, I mean, there was nothing he could do, which I thought was kind of dumb. They spent all that time setting up that backstory, and then they just threw it out.
So, whatever. So, in other words, yes, a lot of there were no – I don't think there were any lasting consequences from Death of the Family, I think.
No, I was really disappointed in it, actually.
I think the big consequences have been – other stories, the Damian Wayne thing, this thing with Jason Todd. I mean, the thing with Jason Todd kind of was set up by the Death of the Family story, yeah. But it didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. It could just as easily have been, you know, its own non-related incident that happened to the Red Hood thing. So I was like you, Murray. I was sucked in. I thought the nice touches of them saying, "Oh, we thought Barbara might show up, and she didn't show up," and good moments.
Yes.
Good family moments. And then, yeah, you're right. That cover should come as no surprise to anyone who read that number 17. So, or was it 18? 18. 18, 17?
Yeah, I think
17. 17.
I think I got the number right.
17, yeah. Yeah. So they pulled the WTF thing, though, off the covers, right? They decided that was just a non-starter, right?
Good. Yes, they did.
Okay. All right. I was a little shocked at that, because while I am not – I am far from a prude, I was a little surprised that they would do that.
Oh, they did?
At all.
Oh, that's right. They did do that, didn't they? I just realized that from looking at them.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake, because it's
they're still calling it that, but
that's kind of like a subtitle to the whole thing. It's just a shocker cover or something like that, a gatefold cover, I guess, of sorts.
Yeah,
yeah. The cover idea is cool. Yeah. I did never get into the labeling of it. That seemed like a. A misguided frat boy attempt to be.
Yeah, I know. The stuff that they got going, some of the stuff they've been coming up with has just not been great. That is
now the whole regular monthlies are going to have this gatefold thing on them, right?
Yep.
So yep. Legion will have it on there. Okay.
Some shocking something, yes.
I'm guessing Shadowlass is pregnant. That's going to be my...
Oh, wow. That would be
something,
wouldn't it?
I don't know. She's knocked up, finally. After all her slutting around with all these
people. Don't tell me about it.
Be careful, slutting around my ass. She's
careful.
Dude, I'm serious. Oh, oof. So anyway.
She has been.
Yeah, I know.
She has had two guys in the court in like, what, 60 years of comics? Two guys and a crush. Come on.
Yeah, that we know of. Sorry. Of course. Oh, wow. This Dilate for Hero cover is awesome.
Yeah, it is kind of cool, isn't it?
Brian Boland rocks. Brian Boland is such an awesome artist.
Well, he's never really been my favorite, but that is kind of cool.
Big old fat that? Flash.
Yes.
Yeah.
The three chins. That's great. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
How cool.
I like. I've been really enjoying Earth. Earth 2 is kind of sad that the one book that's out of it is probably one of my favorite ones. Well, I like Batman, of course, but he's been relying too much on the big story arcs. As much as I love Snyder's stuff, he needs to do some one-off stories and actually do some detecting, which I haven't been reading detective comics, so I don't know how... But it's getting a whole new writer and stuff all over again, so who knows? I might pick it up and check it out. I probably will.
Wow, that Earth 2 cover is awesome.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, wow.
I love the Jim Starlin cover, too.
Oh, for, what's it called? Stormwatch?
Yeah.
Did he do the cover?
Yeah, he did the cover, yeah. Oh, I can tell by the look of it that it's his work.
Look at that, the Weird is back. Wow, neat. All right.
Yeah, a whole new Stormwatch.
That clearly a sign that it was not a selling book.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's definitely a reboot. They kept the only characters that were popular, and the rest of them got canned. And that book went way off the rails anyway after Cornell left, I thought. I was really close to quitting it, and then when I found out he was coming on, then I like, okay, I'll just hang on for a while. So, because I just love his work.
Well, then speaking of Paul Cornell, Wolverine number one came out this last week.
Yeah, I just got through buying it.
It was. Oh, then I will not give you my honest opinion of it.
Oh, you didn't like it, did you?
It was a tough read.
Uh-huh.
It was
just as I thought.
Paul Cornell writes it. It should be great. Alan Davis drawing it. Should take it to the ultra great level. Mm-hmm. It was just okay. It was just okay.
Yeah.
It was just okay.
I had a feeling.
It was written for the trade. The Alan Davis is on for four issues, and it's the build on it is incredibly slow. I mean, you couldn't ask for a slower build up for a first issue. And he's going to stretch the story out over four issues just to be able to do lots of Alan Davis splash pages. Mm. And issue two better pick it up a bit because. As cheesy as it is, the Frank Cho Wolverine book is lots of action, which is what I expect from a Wolverine title. Mm-hmm. I expect lots of slashing. It's only two issues. It's hasn't been tough to keep up on that one.
Well, I didn't care for it enough, and I didn't buy the second one.
Oh, see, I'm a Savage Land junkie, so.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. As much as it's great to, you know, see all these gratuitous pictures of She-Devil, it's just the whole idea of, you know, literally dropping Wolverine in the Savage Land and say, hey, I don't know where the hell I'm at. That's just too much for me. I'm like, okay, I'm done. So.
Oh, go with it. It's going to be lost. It's going to be, I'm anticipating this is going to be the real Murder World, but we'll see.
I see. Interesting.
Give it time. But you don't have to, because you know what? Mm-hmm. They will be available for 99 cents, I'm sure, on Comixology at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do a thing of it, so.
Wolverine Week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I like how they did the, Harbinger did that. Or not Harbinger, but Valiant did that with the Road to Harbinger War. That was really cool. Of course, I'd already bought all those books, so I was a little late, but still.
I said it last week, and I'll say it again. We need to do a focus on Valiant, and, you know, half hour.
Mm-hmm. I am all for it. Yeah, they're still on sale for 99 cents, all the Harbinger stuff. So
I've got to pick up Bloodshot. I have not. I've only been keeping up with Archer and Armstrong and and Harbinger. Those are the only two that I've been keeping up with.
I've been reading all the Valiant stuff, and I really like it.
I need to pick it up. The one thing, if you just, Murray, do you read any of these books?
No, I don't.
They're very, and Chris, mm-hmm. correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but it's a very liberal, and I mean that politically wise, set of titles. They really bag on the a lot of conservative ideals, as well as some, and I agree, by the way, with most of their points of view, just right. So you know, of the comics. I mean, not with the conservative ideals. Mm-hmm. It's just they bag on the one percenters. They bag on the
especially
Wall Street,
Armour and Armstrong.
Yeah, it's just it's
Archer and Armstrong. Excuse me,
Archer and Armstrong, Armour and Armstrong. That's a whole different title.
Yeah, that's another. That'd be a team up title. It'd be Exo Man of War, Armstrong. See, talk to me, Valiant. I can help you out, man. So
write it up. Send it over to Josh Dysart.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I have a team up book. One month somebody teams up with Armstrong. The other month somebody teams up with Exo Man of War, Armour and Armstrong. See, right there. There's a book.
It writes itself.
It writes itself. You don't have to. Yeah, you just throw them in together. That would be an interesting combination, actually.
I have to back issue Exo Man of War and
I didn't think I was going to like it. I mean, it's not – I don't – how should I put it? I don't like it quite as much as some of the other ones, but it's – I like it enough that I like to read it every month when it comes out. So does that make sense?
Of course it does.
I like the concept of the, Roman from hundreds of – or thousands of years ago in that armor today, that whole – it's a nice blend of genres. I like it, so. Shadow Man's been good, too.
They've got... Oh, and Shadow Man has started, hasn't it? Oh, crap.
Yeah, it's like six issues in, dude.
Exo, Shadow Man. At least they haven't done Ninjak and Quantum and Woody yet, so.
Oh, they got Quantum and Woody. They got all the back issues. Are they gonna
In terms of a new Quantum and Woody.
Are they going to do a new one?
It wouldn't shock me a bit.
Huh.
Quantum and Woody was like their big one for back in the day.
It was that was.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I read the first one, and it was actually kind of funny. I might pick
well,
that was who? Mark Bright, and who was the writer?
Rolling the dice here. Let's see if I can... No, I can't remember off the top of my head, so now I have to cheat.
Jim Owsley?
Now let me look here. I'll pull it up.
I thought
on their page.
No, you know what? It technically is Jim Owsley because it's Chris it's Christopher Priest. So technically
it's Christopher
Priest.
Isn't that what he used to be called?
But isn't Christopher Priest Jim Owsley? Aren't they the same guy?
I have no idea.
I think you're right.
I thought they were the same dude.
Okay. No, I didn't have any idea about that. What do you do?
I hate to say it. I think he went by Jim Owsley because it didn't sound like a black name, and he's a black guy, and he was trying to get work.
Okay. Well, this Christopher, one of the Christopher Priests I just pulled up is Okay, there's an actual author by the same name out there. He is decidedly white.
Well, I'm pretty certain Christopher Priest is a black guy.
Well, let's look.
He was part of the what was that line of titles?
It says Priest as Jim Owsley broke into comics business as a writer in 82 at the age of 21. He was on Marvel's editorial staff shortly thereafter, working as assistant editor for Larry Hama on the Conan titles. In 85, Owsley was for several years the editor of Spider-Man, and professional and personal disagreements eventually led to his removal as editor and leaving Marvel. Later edited several titles for the Impact imprint. Yeah, he also had runs on the series as Power Man and Iron Fist, Conan the Barbarian, The Ray, Steel, Deadpool, Black Panther Volume 3. He co-created the Quantum and Woody Zero with an X and The Crew, among others. Priest is an ordained Baptist minister, it says here.
And I'm wrong. He didn't do it. His real name, his given name is Jim Owsley. So.
Yeah, and it says here, in 93, he became part of the group of artists that launched Milestone. He continued to the development of original Milestone Story Bible and designed the company logo. He has said he has intended to become the company's editor-in-chief. Personal problems forced him to scale down his involvement between DC and Milestone. And it says, shortly afterward, he changed his name from Jim Owsley to Christopher Priest for a reason he has not discussed publicly other than in one interview, seemingly glib remark about becoming a priest if his marriage... which later ended in a divorce, did not last. Interesting. During Ollie's Green Lantern run, prior to his name change, he introduced a character named Priest. He was stated he was unaware of the British science fiction novelist Christopher Priest as an accommodation. Comics writer Christopher Priest refers to himself professionally as either Monomial Priest or Christopher J. Priest. Interesting. Very interesting.
So you were right.
Here's his website. Interesting.
Yes, and Quantum and Woody was definitely one of their top sellers back in the day. So it would shock me if there's not a Quantum and Woody in the works, or at least been discussed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Christopher Priest is still alive, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on his website here, which he hasn't updated since 2011.
If they were going to do it, he would be a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Mark Braid is still alive.
Yeah.
Yay! Sorry. Sorry. So this definitely was a mishmash of discussion, I would say.
Yeah, and it definitely is. That's interesting. I did not know that about him. I really haven't heard of Owsley, but I've heard of Christopher Priest because I've seen some of his stuff.
Oh, his big thing! I remember he did the Ray when DC did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that back in early '90s?
Yeah, with Quesada and.
Bunch of stuff listed.
Was Quesada the artist on that, or the inker, or what?
He was the penciler for the first couple of issues, and then somebody else finished it off.
Really?
Yep.
I had no idea.
Yep. Sitting in my back issue bin.
Murray's back issue bins.
Yep.
I never did read any of that.
Whoa, what happened to the sound? It just got really clear.
It's been fine for me.
Whoa, that was weird.
Can you hear better now?
Yes, all of a sudden.
Okay. Well, all right then.
Well, right at the end here, I get the best sound I've had all show.
Well, all right.
Sorry. All right, I gotta go kill my cats.
Okay.
So, go ahead and report me to the ASPCA.
We'll do, okay.
Because they peed on something that they peed on before, and we're going to have to kill them.
You're going to have words.
Not good, man.
I'm going to have words that they're not going to understand. Yeah, that's what they're going to hear.
All right. We will wrap this up. As usual, you can contact us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. And you can...
Whoa, there's an echo.
All right, well, we'll go through it. On the Facebook page, you can join the conversation there. And just do a little search on the searchy page on Facebook. Find us. Oh, man, we're missing this. Hello. Still there. Okay, anyway. And, of course, you can comment on, at least right now, until I lock it down, which I don't think I have to, really. You can comment on the actual episodes. Let us know what you think. And that's about it. Just, yeah, hopefully you weren't bored to death and won't come back next week. But we should be a little bit more organized next week, hopefully.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the theory. Yeah, okay. Anyway, and that's it for this
week. Catch y'all later.
All right.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And we are out.